Hello, listener. This is your host, Aditya. It's been a while. Yeah. I can only apologize for that and reassure everyone that there are reasons as to why it's been a while. I was about to say good reasons, but of course, everyone may have a different perspective on that. Rest assured that there is more content. There will be more podcasts, and we're working on ways to try and speed up the editing process. But that's not actually why I'm here. I'm here to tell listeners that if this is the first episode that you're clicking because it's right at the top of your feed, this is actually part two of our episode where we cover the OTT landscape in India. So if you haven't already, please scroll down just a little bit and click on part one and listen to that first. That will be great. If you did listen to part one, you would remember that I said that this would be a two-part episode. Turns out, when editing, I discovered that we just have so much content, so we are now going to make it a three-part episode. Some of you may think that's just me being lazy and just milking one episode to the maximum level possible and doing it by three. But I think, A, just in terms of the actual volume of content, there is actually a lot. And also, I think that each episode or each part is actually quite distinct in terms of what we cover. So for this episode, for example, we're going to spend a lot of time on the reality TV and unscripted space, and also a bit about the creative challenges of creating sustainable OTT shows, as opposed to talking about specific shows that we liked or didn't like, which is what we did in part one. And also what we'll do a little bit again in part three, which, given it's the end of the show, is a bit more free form. And so you can almost consider that as a bonus episode if you like. Anyway, hope you enjoy the show, and please be patient with us. We will be back with more content, hopefully with less infrequent. If it got any less frequent than this, that would be a problem. Anyway, you guys know what I mean. Oh, and in case you missed the first episode but you don't want to go back, just a reminder that your panel for this episode is myself, Satyen, Ishita, Darvesh, Rohit, Arjun, and Darshi. And I hope to God I didn't miss anyone out. Enjoy the show.
The following podcast was broadcast live on Clubhouse and was recorded with the express consent of all involved participants. For full and uncut access to future episodes, download Clubhouse and listen live on Sundays at 7:30 p.m. IST, 9 a.m. Eastern Time.
You're listening to Bollywood Weekly.
The thing that I don't like, or I mean, I guess it's early still, and of course there are many other reasons for it, but a lot of the great shows that came out pretty early, like Pitchers and Permanent Roommates, and then there were some others as well, right? There's a show called Baked, which was done by Scoop Poo.
That's the food thing, right?
Yeah, it's these guys in college who run a food delivery business at night, but it's a very college stoner comedy, but it's also really good. But all of these shows, they go for one or two seasons, and then something or the other happens, people move on without getting into, of course, a lot of carnage was caused by hashtag MeToo and revelations from there. But that aside, I feel like in the US, what they've done a very good job of is taking shows and really giving them a long running life. Whereas in India, I don't think we've got there, right? Little Things, which is now a Netflix original but started on YouTube, is the first and only show so far in India to get to a season four, right? Which I find quite...
Yeah, but I really enjoy Little Things. I think, especially, the first two seasons, I think, were on YouTube. I don't remember exactly. And I think then season two or three moved to Netflix. But yeah, overall, it's a really great show. Just, you know, but yeah, I agree with your point. I don't think, I think you're thinking of The Bold and the Beautiful and all of those kind of like long time shows. I think the only show that maybe got to that level was like, you know, Ekta's early shows like Kyunki Saas Bhi Kabhi Bahu Thi and Kahani Ghar Ghar Ki and those types. And yeah, I think that was pretty much it.
Yeah, Rohit, I was going to bring up Little Things as well. I absolutely enjoyed it. It's still one of my favorite shows. But I felt once it moved to Netflix, there was a significant change and shift. That first season that was on Netflix, I still remember there was dubbing issues. And somehow I feel like the making it a bigger production sort of ended up losing the charm of it when it was just purely on YouTube. And again, I think there's something to be said about what are the expectations when you go on a Netflix or a Prime and you have the budget and you're expected to deliver at a much higher level. Will digital content creators and something that was native to YouTube and not backed by a Netflix or Prime, will that actually do well? Will that thrive? And according to me, not in all cases. Even if the cast is good and the team is good, it may lose its charm and essence and innocence when it was just purely on YouTube.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the rawness kind of went away. Like the whole, you know, it's a very intimate feel, right? Like you're kind of just experiencing Dhruv and Kavya's relationship together, you know, as a viewer as well. And so, yeah, I think that is true. I think with going to Netflix and Amazon, there's a budget change. And I first of all, agree with you guys on Made in Heaven, you know, spectacular show and all that. And sometimes that's what I felt when I was watching some of the episodes that, you know, because there are two tracks going on, right? One is the personal life of, you know, the wedding planners and, you know, one is the wedding. And sometimes the wedding was not as interesting. And yeah, of course, it's lavish and great and everything. But I was more interested in knowing maybe what was going on in Tara's life or Karan's life. So yeah, agreed.
On Little Things, I will maybe Satyan provide a counterpoint enabled by some inside information since. For anyone who doesn't know, I used to work for the company that made Little Things. Little Things season 2, which was the first season that moved to Netflix, it was actually made for YouTube in the sense that the show had already been made and was ready, planning to be released on YouTube. And then Netflix came in and acquired it. So it was already at a bigger scale and a bigger production than the first time, which was more just a factor of the fact that Pocket Aces has grown, right? So I don't think I would say it's to do with moving to Netflix or moving to a streaming platform, but it's, I think, more what you were saying, which I think also goes back to my point of why like some other shows have struggled, right? Where it's you do a first show, you do it in a very kind of natural and authentic way, and it becomes successful. Then when you think of what do you do next, right? What can you do differently? And obviously, you know, story and narrative are things you can explore. But the other thing is also, okay, since the first season did well, I can now have more license to do more with a bigger budget, with, you know, more episodes, more. Like, I think the first season of Little Things was only 4 episodes or 5. And the second season already moved to 8. And then the third and fourth, which is on the way, as I think both 10 or something. So I think it's also a question of, can you sustain the quality for that long, right? Because when you have a 4-episode season, it is still easy to feel fresh and feel breezy. But when you have 10, it's much harder, right? Which is, I think, the point that Vish was making earlier about like a lot of shows have the drop-off. It's really hard to not have that drop-off. So that may also be a contributing factor.
And I don't think that's necessarily just a streaming issue or like just a kind of big production issue, like you said. It's plagued like content creators throughout the, like no matter what medium they've chosen, in terms of like why sequels don't generally perform as well as the first, because, you know, you have an idea of how the first one, first season or first movie or whatever goes. And all of a sudden you get this license to expand, and it becomes, you know, like part of the charm of the first kind of the first piece of content is the fact that you're doing it within some kind of restrictions and everything. And to kind of build on that creativity when you have a bit more licenses, I think it's actually very difficult for, I mean, not just YouTube or like, you know, streaming, but just content creators in general.
I do think, though, something which I think is in the vein of of Little Things, which I really liked in my pandemic viewing. I don't know if you guys have watched a show called Mismatched, which is essentially
it's like on Netflix, right?
It's like some coding summer camp situation. It's actually a very, very cute little rom-com type show. It's only 6 episodes. And it's basically about 2 kids who go to a coding camp, and basically they were set up by their parents, but the girl doesn't know they were set up, and the boy's basically enrolled in this thing to hang out with her. But that's like the first 15 minutes. But the overall show is just like what younger people in India today are like striving for and looking at. And, you know, some of them are affluent and some aren't. And some come from smaller towns, et cetera, et cetera. And it's all kind of overlaid on this digital, you know, the coding / gaming culture. And it's really, really well done. I mean, everyone has really good chemistry. They like speak like normal people. There are very few like quote unquote adults in the show. Is basically just all of these kids and then one professor and then one older student. And it's based on a book. But it's really well made, and you can see Netflix trying to like basically appeal to a certain the metro, more English speaking, like younger, I would say like call it 16 to 25 type of crowd. And they do a really good job. And I think the other show that came out at a very similar time was Masaba Masaba, which I think was a very different and I think a bit more controversial in terms of people liking it and people not liking it. But you can see that and you can see with Netflix specifically, because we haven't yet talked about their unscripted shows. But you can see them trying to ramp up content, which is, I think, to push your point. You know, when Prime came and they're like, we're just going to kind of inundate the content to try and get people to catch on. Netflix definitely seems like they're trying to ramp everything up really fast. And I think to kind of accelerate the amount of content they put up.
Yeah, Mismatched was also a recommendation from Divya, who is not on the show today because she forgot she had to attend a wedding, in her words, not mine. Speaking of, on that same vibe, since we talked about Little Things and we talked about Mismatch, which is on Netflix, but, you know, has mostly Sane, who's a famous YouTuber and has that kind of less production heavy vibe. I think another show, and I promise it's the last Dice Media show I'll bring up in case anyone thinks I'm biased, is What the Folks, right? I feel it's a super underrated show because it came out after Little Things. And it's more of a family kind of oriented show. It's very similar in terms of tone to Little Things, but it's more about a slightly older couple, right? Whereas Dhruv and Kavya are, young working couples who are still like dating, figuring out their relationship. This is a married couple who the guy has to move in with his in-laws, right? And it's about that whole family dynamic and how that is. And I think actually it's a superior show to Little Things, even though I think Little Things got a lot more coverage and attention and of course got picked up by Netflix. I think What the Folks, even though it's on YouTube, the quality of the show is just a lot higher. I think the acting is really good. The writing is really good. And it's something that you can actually watch with your family, right? Like I remember at the time I was working with Dice Media when the show came out, although I had like nothing to do with the show, but I actually like made my parents watch it, and they ended up finishing the season without me. Like I thought I would be like, okay guys, should we watch this now? And they were like, oh yeah, we already finished season one. I was like, oh okay, that's nice.
Yeah, on the same lines actually as you were just discussing like family shows that you can watch with your family. I think there was a show that's like 90s based, like growing up in India in the 90s. I think Ye Meri Family. Has anyone watched that?
No.
That's a TVF show.
Yeah, I watched an episode. It was pretty interesting, actually. I think I haven't watched What the Folks, so I'm not too sure about that. But yeah, I think both, you know, TVF and Dice Media and Filter Copy are all the same, right? I guess all of that. Yeah, they all appeared really good shows.
Can we give a 5-minute shout out to the unscripted now?
Yes, Ishita, I know you've been dying to talk about
I have been dying. You know what? I have some thoughts, okay, about reality television in India. now that we have established that we have like people who like roadies and shit on this, all this. So there is that MTV brand of reality television, which I think we all kind of grew up with, right? Which was, that was like what reality television is. And now there is a brand of reality television that has come to India, which is essentially trying to capitalize on what happens in the States. So we have our, you know, Real Housewives equivalent and the Fabulous Wives. We have our like dating equivalent in Indian matchmaking. But I don't know. I don't think it's exactly like, but it's kind of getting there. And then you just have this random kind of shit, which is like the big day, which you're like, I think people really miss attending weddings. And so let's just give them 45 minutes of content of how ridiculous some of these weddings really are. So it's kind of getting, I think it's going to be a lot more of this. And I think these have done well commercially. So obviously people want more of this content. But Fabulous Wives, especially, I'm just like, I'm very confused as to where this goes in the long term. Because these four people specifically are probably the most like D/E grade people that exist in Bollywood. To the point where when I watched this with my dad, that I had to explain to him like 7 times that, you know, who these people are and why the hell he should care about, you know, what party they're going to. And then in the last episode, he goes, oh, they're all friends with Shah Rukh Khan. I get it now. So I think that it's just very interesting. I'm by the way, I'm not saying this from a point of that I don't think these shows should be made. I 100% think they should be made. I think they're very entertaining. And I love the fact that there are only like 8 to 10 episodes. So you can completely binge them in a day and then like move on with your mental space. But I think it's going to be very interesting to see where the middle point of this comes in, because this all seems very geared towards, I think, NRI/English-speaking audiences. And so where do we get to a point where actually Hindi-speaking audiences will kind of want to indulge or buy into this a bit more. So I'm genuinely just very interested to see what the future of this is beyond just like the second and third seasons of these shows.
Ishita, I loved the points. Super important and interesting points. I think there's quite a few, but before I forget, I just wanted to put it out there that I watched only one episode of Indian Matchmaking and I just could not do it any, could not watch any more of it because it was just cringe central.
Oh, don't worry. I think the biggest point of that show or the key takeaway is that she's a really bad matchmaker and no one actually gets together with their future somethings.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
It's all like a moot point because she's very bad at her job.
Yeah, you sure. Didn't miss much. The first episode pretty much encompassed the feel of the no, rest of the show.
I mean, sorry, you can watch a show about and... people like on a, what was it, Cutters and Lovers or whatever island, and this is where you draw the line?
Yes, I'll tell you why. I'm
curious as can be, honestly.
Because if that point, Ishita, which she mentioned right at the end, which is the NRI audiences versus an Indian audience is very important. And I'm going to bring up White Tiger just for a hot sec, because I thought right now it's being considered as an Oscar entry. Priyanka Chopra is asking for votes on Instagram. And that is an American film, according to me, written for NRIs and written for Americans and the rest of the world. And it's not an Indian film. Similarly, I think picking up the framework of reality TV from America and applying it to an Indian context doesn't make it an Indian reality show. Because what we grew up with was much more raw, authentic. Like the Hindi, the humor, the characters were all so much more Indian in essence than what we have today. Because if you look at Indian Matchmaking, you look at The Big Day. I went into it so skeptical, actually. But The Big Day, again, the weddings are extravagant and something that is not like a common for a common man to relate to. But when I saw the people, I think the people were quite genuine and good, real people. And the points they brought up was important. Were important points to be discussed in society about equality and like the kanyada not being a right thing, choosing to have a female pandit, all of that. So some relevant points. However, the bigger picture for me is writing for a Western audience versus an Indian show at its core is very different. And I think the more they pick up the framework and successes of the reality shows in America and the West, and if they apply to an Indian context, we're going to lose the essence of Indian reality TV.
And and to be clear, the essence of Indian reality TV is roadies, right?
I mean, I don't know if I want to generalize it like that, but it had it like if you compare Roadies to any of these shows, even Skulls and Roses to an extent, because even that was a slightly Love Island westernized version of Roadies. It had its influences now, but go back to the early days of Roadies and what Indian TV was then, and you compare it to the shows coming out today, like huge gulf of difference, right?
Okay, yeah. but sorry, a couple of things like I wanted to make, right? I mean, one is that, which is like Netflix, their approach. So firstly, Netflix is anyway, as I mentioned, in India, expensive, right? So any unscripted content that they make is going to be targeted to the urban masses, English-speaking audience, because those are the people who will actually pay money for Netflix, one. Right? And the point is, those people all watch, not all, okay, I'm exaggerating, but many of those people watch Real Housewives of Atlanta or New York, watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians, they watch Love Island, they watch all of those shows, right? So it makes perfectly logical sense to try and create those shows in an Indian context, which if you're already watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians, you will find this more relatable or more interesting in some way. Right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the point, right? This is not, I don't think this is specifically catered for Western or non-Western. I think this is lowest common denominator, right?
Exactly, like, which is...
Yeah.
There are so many smart people that I've spoken to that watch like Love Island, and you're just like, why do you do it? But it switches off your brain in a way that nothing else can. And I think that's the point, right? This is why these things are being made. I don't necessarily agree with the Eastern versus Western. Again, there are enough incredibly bad shows for Indians as well to watch in their own language.
But I think also we grew up watching bad shows, right? Like we grew up watching really, really shitty television. I mean, when you look at the Indian context, I think my point was more that is the idea of, it was more like a philosophical point, if you would like to say, being like, that are these shows trying to bring in more Indian audiences to, you know, start creating a culture of this, right? Which if I think the way Karan Johar thinks, I think that's what this is. Like, I want to get you guys to care about all of this stuff that basically all exists on Instagram already.
No,
But the other side of it becomes...
It's just that reality TV in terms of, you know, us like observing celebrities is not a concept that has necessarily caught on in India before this show. It's been in the US for like 15 years, right?
100%. Like since EU or whatever. Famous for being famous.
But Indians are just as celebrity, if not more, celebrity obsessed, right? Like all these paparazzi and all these people who just have a career standing outside Mannat and hoping to catch one glimpse of Shah Rukh Khan is like, is this? So this is the logical kind of manifestation of why like Taimur Ali Khan has thousands and millions of people who care about what he ate for breakfast. Then of course you're going to get shows like this because there are people who want that, and this is just feeding that demand.
But do you think that the people who are sort of looking at paparazzi Mannat photos or whatever, are they the same people who will watch Netflix and Amazon shows? Is there like a big enough kind of...
I think there is more than enough people in the first category that can be like essentially picked on for to watch these shows, right? So I do think it is a derivative of that people in India have started caring so much more about celebrity culture. Not that they always didn't, but I think everything was kind of more geared towards print media. And so now that digital is huge and we get, you know, daily photos of what Taimur Ali Khan is wearing, which I don't know why we photograph children, but that's cool. But I think that's what's going to feed into this idea that, okay, so now going from what Kareena Kapoor and Saif Ali Khan to their like third derivative friends and what they say in passing about like Shah Rukh Khan, that's what we should care about. So I'm not saying it is a derivative of exactly the progression that has happened in the West.
And yet, just to clarify, I'm not saying one is better than the other or some shows are bad or audiences are worse off watching some than watching the others. If I were to make a comparison, I would say Takeshi's Castle versus Wipeout. And Takeshi's Castle, if you go back, like the one of the first few seasons, so pure, raw, and just hilarious and family entertainment at its finest. Yeah. And then Wipeout, the American version, is a commercialized beast of with similar concept, but it's so commercialized, so professional, and very, very different treatment. That's how I see it now, which is the new Indian reality shows that will pop up or have been popping up on Netflix and Amazon and the likes are much more heavily sort of produced, the scripted, unscripted versions of shows with a larger concept and a star cast also.
Yes, I think Wipeout really suffered from not having Javed Jaffrey on there.
That's probably, Jaffrey made
that's probably where they missed the trick. Yeah. But I think in general, reality TV, even in the West, has become sort of more scripted over the years, right?
Yeah.
So in general, I think that's even, I mean, if you look at, again, if you look at Rudy's or Spitzvilla or whatever in India, I mean, that change has been happening in the West as well, where you have versions of, I guess, you could say Big Brother and whether there's like the real world and all these things where there's just these random people who kind of, you know, do well. I mean, even in the UK, it's like a massive thing. Whereas now, you know, you have a lot more people watching these kind of pseudo-scripted shows or like shows where they kind of contrive all these situations where they're kind of desperate to create content. I think that's also because there's like so much like vlogging and online things that are available to get like some kind of reality check.
There's also now this like concept or trend called cringe watching, right? Which is where like the so bad it's good thing. Like you watch something just to be able to talk to everyone later about how
bad it
ridiculous
is.
It is. And I remember seeing on Twitter actually, it was like there was some writer from the US who basically tweeted out saying, guys, please don't like cringe watch. If you think something is bad, don't watch it because Netflix doesn't care whether you're watching something because you think it's bad or you think it's good. They care that you're watching it. If you're watching it, they will give you more.
But I think like the one thing that I noticed in terms of the new shows, right? So I think back when we were growing up in the 90s, and I think Ishita said this, right, that we had really bad TV. Like I'm thinking back to like those K-series, right? Like everyone was like glued to watching like a sortie at 8:30, like, you know, because that's the only option available, right? But currently, if you see, you have with the OTT and the actual TV, so many more options that people who don't like the reality TV are not going to watch it, right? They're going to probably watch one episode and be like, this is shit, and we're going to watch something else. So I think the whole point of having this, like a current show sort of making Bollywood Wives or something, right? It's for the people who want more of the celebrities, right? Who like who see coffee with Karan, they're like, oh yeah, I want to know more about their lives, right? And they think this is an extension just because it just has, you know, Karan Johar as a brand name on it. That's what I've been observing with like people who've watched it. They're like, no, we want to know, like, you know, they don't think these are scripted shows. They think this is reality, right? Like whatever Neelam and whatever, whoever was on the show actually had a fight according to them. So I think it's gearing towards people who don't really, I would feel like they don't question the reality as much. And for people who like can differentiate, will automatically not watch these quote unquote cringy shows.
Or they will still watch them
because they want to hate it.
I'm still getting over the fact that fight wasn't real.
Yeah. Oh my god, yeah, so scripted.
I think just to bring in a larger point, also this whole FOMO culture that OTT has created. So before, like you mentioned, Kasauti, if I missed two episodes, yes, I would feel bad, but I wouldn't be left out of conversations in school or college. But now,
you lucky man. This is all NCR was about, man. Like, just Fish was the coolest guy out there. He knew everything about Kasauti.
You say that. I agree with you saying that, you know, the FOMO culture is a thing. And I definitely think, especially in the Netflix binge era, now, if someone binges a show, that's it, right? They are like a full season ahead of you. Versus I still remember when I went to college, I think, and this is what old age does to you. What was the show, the Sushant Singh Rajput show, the first one that he was on? Tum mere kya lagte ho or something no like idea. I don't remember.
Oh, Pavitra Rishta, right?
Yes, that one. Okay.
Yeah. Oh my God.
That one, I remember watching it when it first started, and you watch the first few episodes and you're like, oh, this is interesting. Like, I like this concept, etc. I went to college. I got back at the end of the semester and maybe the story had moved by 10 days. Like, it was so slow and it was so easy to catch up on. Versus now, every show we've talked about, there's no way to really get in the conversation unless you watch the show.
Like, especially every episode as well. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's no longer about whether how good or bad something is. It doesn't matter. If you haven't watched it, you're automatically left out of conversations and you're not in the know. And that in itself is a problem, because how else am I supposed to feel like I understand a meme? Like, I scroll Reddit the next day if I haven't watched something. I'm missing out on a whole sort of, I'm missing out on the trend, the news, and references made by other actors, other celebrities, and other shows that I follow. So you're completely left out.
Yeah, plus, like, the spoilers are also so much faster, right? Because, like, if something comes out, like, say it comes out, like, Friday, by Monday, I feel like half the world, basically, that you follow, right, has watched it. And if you go online and you see exactly, right, like, as Satyen said, like, memes and stuff, more than like, oh, I haven't watched it, FOMO, it's going to be, like, oh, they probably let out some information that I could have watched on the episode, right? So it's more of a spoiler thing as well, which I don't think it was that bad a couple of years ago.
I'm just wondering one thing that, you know, I think Aditya brought up a great point about, you know, access and, you know, like, how things are spread. From the 90s, I noticed that, you know, if someone watched a movie, right, like, the movie would go on for 25 weeks too in, like, theaters, right?
Yeah.
So, like, if Hum Aapke Kaun was, like, the best movie ever in 1994, great, but it went on for, like, a year, or DDLJ is still playing, right? So no one, like, in those days didn't go too much into, like, spoilers, and they were like, oh, it's a good movie, watch it, right? And, like, the FOMO thing was kind of less. That's
why I also think, guys, that we're in the middle of a pandemic, and a lot of people have more time on their hands to watch, you know, people on islands trying to either fall in love or be forced to co-feed or whatever that is.
I think we transformed into skulls. I think
That's what it was.
I really want to know the conversation that Satyen felt left out of, which caused him to watch Skull Island.
In Kasauti, what happened?
I know, I want to know.
I think Kasauti is still acceptable compared to Skull. I'm sorry, just, like, unpopular opinion here.
100%.
I would agree.
I know, it's really funny because I have a distinct memory of, you know, when the first time they brought Mihir back to life, which shows are like...
As you said, the first time.
Yeah, the first time, exactly.
Yeah, it also happened like 5 times after that. Exactly.
I remember the first time was such a new concept, and it was like a family viewing because, you know, the papers had it printed saying, oh, you know, this is going to happen on this day. And I remember all of us sitting down and watching it, and I was like, this is so stupid. This guy is coming back to life. And then, of course, you know, Isha Kapoor thought that it was such a great idea, theoretically. She kept repeating it in multiple shows later on.
Same with Rishabh Bajaj, and to date, I don't call him Ronit Roy. I call him Rishabh Bajaj.
Oh my God, yes. Mr. Bajaj. No, you have to give him the proper, you know.
Yeah, Mr. Bajaj. Show some respect to his name.
Exactly. This is how we know you've missed the episode, Satyen.
See, don't make me feel
you left, feel left out.
Yes.
Thank you everyone for listening. That was our show. We hope you enjoyed it. Like I said, there will be a part 3 of this episode coming soon, so stay tuned. And of course, more episodes to come after that. If you like what we're doing, please do spread the word and encourage people to search out Bollywood Weekly on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, JioSaavn, and pretty much anywhere else you might get your podcasts. See you soon.